morning and welcome everyone. Live Dharma Sunday for August 4th, 2013. I'm Koyo Sanunkubose here. So glad you joined us. Well, this weekend has been a very significant celebration. Yesterday, August 3rd, was my brother Don and his wife Joyce's 50th wedding anniversary. And yesterday, we had a big celebration. We wanted to keep it informal, and so it was very intimate and warm with just the relatives at the Taniguchi Ranch in Fowler, California, which is very close to Fresno, California. The Kuboses have a lot of roots in the Fowler area, Central California. My sister Joyce and her husband Robert, they came from Chicago. And Chicago was where the Kubose family put its roots down after World War II. So my brother Don and my sister Joyce and myself, we grew up in Chicago. You know, when we think about social networks and interdependencies, the dangerous net, relationships, that's a tremendous thing for human experience. All of us. My brother Don is the oldest, and I'm in the middle. My sister Joyce and my younger sister. When we think about family, sometimes they said that, oh, Kubose family. You know, one thing about the name, it's a very rare Kubose name. Don, my brother Don, had talked about this, in fact, in his remarks last night. My mother's maiden name was Taniguchi. She had two brothers, Kay and George, who incidentally married two sisters of the Nishimura's clan in the Fresno Fowler area. I would say that of all the relatives, maybe over 90% are in this area, at least in California, that have blood connection and through marriage connection that are supporting the Bright Dawn Center. My brother Don was a retired, he had a PhD in physical chemistry. Physical location and course goal here of the center is primarily due to his influence and input. And on afterwards in terms of our organization's growth, foundation. Family's been a very, of course, we're a board-run organization, nonprofit. Family has been such a foundation for the organization. A little bit about the principles in terms of my parents' influence. Every Wednesday, we go to Tai Chi at the Fresno Temple. Don's wife, Joyce, is a Tai Chi leader. A lot of times they do crafts, expert crafts bakers in terms of making homemade cards and stuff. And they have son and Joyce have 3 children, 7 grandchildren. No, it's quite a clan. And solid network. My sister Joyce is a... My mother was an accomplished Tano Yu, Way of Tea teacher, and also flower arrangement teacher. And Joyce, my sister Joyce became a... We got 2 Joyces, my sister-in-law and my sister. My sister Joyce followed in her mom's footsteps, so to speak, and she became a tea teacher, too, of renown in Chicago. Her husband, Robert, my sister visiting here, we get to see his expertise in, he's a birder, and he's also very knowledgeable in plants, in terms of flower arrangements, and bonsai. Bonsai expert, he knows how to prune. And my father before he became a minister, was a landscape gardener. He was always outside with the plants. In a few days, as part of the, since my sister and her husband came out, we're going to go take a little trip to Mono Lake. I don't know if you know about Mono Lake in Lee Vining is the city that's near, and it's east and south of Yosemite National Park, which is close by. Mono Lake is, I read that any seagull born west of the Rocky Mountains born in Mono Lake. And it's an interesting lake because I learned a new word just yesterday. There are tufas there. A lot of you never knew what tufa meant. T-U-F-A. Not tufa, tufa. It's Frank, not George. It's a rock, I looked in the dictionary and it says it's a rock formation, porous rocks, especially made a form of limestone deposited by hot springs. And the lake, Mono Lake, water level has, it supplies a lot of water for Los Angeles, San Francisco, but the water level is very down and you can see these tufas. So it's a famous spot. Very interesting in terms of a lot of the geographic and information. Now, all the visitors we had, I'm going to talk about them later, but I just want to mention that I admire and love my 2 siblings so much, and their spouses. I'm so fortunate, and Bright Dawn Center is so fortunate to have such a solid, supportive network. And of course, you know what happens is when relatives are married, relatives by marriage, everything goes like a exponential, spreads out. So you have the Reverend Gilmay and Minnie Kubosa's 7 great-grandchildren. Pretty soon afterwards, when they grow up and get married, it just starts to spread. Then if they marry someone, then they're part of the side of the family. So my in-laws, my wife's side, my wife Adrian's family side have been so supportive. It just spreads out. And we cannot imagine what supports us, the reality of it. So as I think about all the family connections, well, I want to go and introduce my better half, Adrian, and because she is going to give the Dharma glimpse today. So I would like to call upon her.
Good morning, everyone. The other day I happened to watch a movie about Andy Kaufman called Man on the Moon. I remembered him as the character Latka on the series Taxi. The movie revealed there was so much more to Andy Kaufman than the Latka character. In fact, I had no idea that his comedic style often inflamed his audience. Some people went to his stand-up shows expecting him to be like his character Latka, and instead were enraged by his jokes that made fun of women as subservient or criticized something the audience didn't agree with. I was struck by how delighted Andy was when the audience reacted with rage. This got me thinking about how to deal with things that upset us. We all get upset about something just about every day, whether it be about the driver who cuts us off, our spouse's irritating behavior, what's going on in politics, society, etc. These things that upset us can smolder within and could explode into full-fledged fire, leading to acts we'll regret if we don't watch out. I was struck by David Brazier's book, Feeling Buddha, that covers the Four Noble Truths, among other things, and especially the chapter about taming the fire. When we get upset, we need to take a few breaths and think about what is upsetting us. How much of a day did we spend being upset? Do I want to spend my day being upset with this and that? What can I do about the things that upset me? For example, I'm taking care of my 98-year-old mother. Recently, she is becoming more and more helpless and weak. When she walks, she takes teeny tiny steps, so it takes a long time to get her from place to place. I have to fix her hair, which frustrates me because I'm terrible with hair. She has no short-term memory, so she asks the same question over and over. When I'm in a hurry to get her someplace, I feel myself getting upset and frustrated. I have to fix her hair, get her to the car, and answer a question, "Where are we going?" over and over again. But I can do nothing about my mother's decline. After thinking about it, I realize that I must change myself. I can view the situation differently. I remember hiking up the Grand Canyon. Going down was a breeze, but it took me a really long time to get back up. I had to take teeny tiny steps and rest after only a few steps because of the altitude and the steep slope. I realized that when Mom walks now, it must be just like that for her. So I can tell myself, Grand Canyon, when she is walking, to put things into perspective. Mom's hairdresser has been patiently showing me how to fix Mom's hair. So when I'm fixing her hair, I can remind myself that I'm practicing my hairdressing skills. When she asks the same question over and over again, I can tell myself, first time, every time, to remind myself that for her, each question was asked for the first time, and this should calm my impatience. I can't get rid of the thing that upset me, but I can find ways to deal with them. So often what works is to switch how I'm viewing things. Thank you for listening. Have a Dharma-full day.
Yeah, that's true. Adrian's mom is living with us, and you know, she just turned 98 years old. And I'm sure Adrian would agree with me when, you know, we learned so much from her. She lives in the moment. She still has a great sense of humor. She can get around. She can go to the bathroom by herself. I mean, when you're 98, a lot of active daily caretaking activities you take. Don't realize. She can walk around and It's a tremendous teaching to have her in the household. Inspiring, I guess I would say. Now, when we think about on her side, and Adrian's siblings, the O'Connell and the Asano clan, so supportive. We're so lucky with the not having dysfunctional families and family feuds and all that. It's a tribute to the previous generation. And as my brother talked about in his remarks at the 50th anniversary last night gathering, the significance of the Fowler area where my mother was born, and she was a Taniguchi, and her parents were, my grandparents on my mother's side, we were very close to the Kubota family. Because on the Kubota side, my father, he was the only child, and then as my brother explained, very uncommon in those days when my father was, an infant, that his parents got divorced. He was born in San Francisco, and then in 1905, and then there was a big earthquake and fire in San Francisco in 1906. He was sent back to Japan as a 2 or 3 year old. My father, raised by his grandparents. That was the custom in those days for Japanese families. The newborn, the children belonged to the father's side. So he didn't know his parents. My father didn't know his parents. But from that, a lot of people, if you read his biography, he overcame that kind of tragedy of the beginning of his life, where his parents divorced and he could not, he didn't know his father. And when he finally reunite with his father in California, when he came back to America as a young man, as the story goes, it was very difficult for him to say, father. And his mother was not able to get together with her own son because he belongs to the Kubota side, not the Mita side. It was a tragic upbringing for him. He was told by his grandparents, my father was, that if you see your mother coming around, run home. And the mother, who lived in a nearby village, when she went back to Japan, would be, as the story goes, hiding behind a tree and looking at her only son playing in the playground, maybe, and so forth. Sort of, I think, out of that tragedy of upbringing, made him, my father, know about kindness, know about family connections. And these early events and whatnot laid the foundation for becoming a minister, and then, well, as we say, the rest is history. But my grandparents on my mom's side was very solid people, Tsuneichi and Taka Taniguchi. As my brother said, the Kubota name is very unusual. When my parents were in Japan, they traveled around Japan, every city they went to, they look in the phone book, no Kubotas. For sure there's no Kubota. Very unusual name. Okay. So I was joking that this whole clan, combined clan, is the Kuboguchi family. combining Kubota and Taniguchi. But, and then as my brother pointed out, for he and his wife, Joyce, their premier grandparents, okay, their expertise, and 7 grandchildren, And of course, their children are middle-aged now. Because, well, it's their 50th wedding anniversary. So they had three children. And they were all there at the gathering last night. Christine, Darren, and Shauna. And then, of course, the great-grandchildren, Monica and Carissa, Christine's two daughters, Darren and Cameron, Emiko and Trevor. Trevor is the only male Kubota so far in terms of progeny. Okay. Adrian and I have two sons, Tate and Cannon. So carry on the Kubota name from our side. But on my brother Don's side and wife Joyce, Trevor is only Kubota. And by his middle name, given middle name is Gilme, named after my father. And then Shauna, the youngest daughter of Don and Joyce, has two boys, Keizo and Remy. And her husband, Richardson, PhD, teaching locally here at Reedley College. My son, Tate, has a PhD. My second son, and Cannon, my first son, he's very knowledgeable in nutrition. And then my two uncles, my mother's two brothers, Kay and George, that I mentioned, they still have their grape farm in the Fowler area where my mother was raised. And those two brothers married into the Nishimura clan. Alice and Amy, they were part of the Nishimura clan. I think they had eight siblings. They're all still here in the Fowler Fresno area too. I got dozens of second cousins here. Kay and Alice, they had four children. Oldest was Amy. She's one of the linchpins of all our gatherings. She's a MD, a pediatrician, retired. Husband Bruce, he has a lot of talents. One of his relatives, a long time ago, was the Secretary of the Navy. We'll put that in there. There's Earl and Glenn and Dana. And Earl is still living in the original Taniguchi Ranch. Still farming 40 acres of grapes for raisins. Fowler area, you know, is the world capital of raisins. Earl's an accomplished fisherman. He's always bringing salmon to gatherings. He's got a smoker. He's got tremendous dip recipe. He supplies off of the fish. He's a good farmer. I mean, his tomatoes and vegetables are famous too. And he got famous for catching a 200-pound sturgeon. Younger brother Glenn is an expert cabinet maker. He's made boats. He built the Taniguchi, the remodeled Taniguchi house that the event was in. Dana's an all-around good guy. He was the so-called accident, I shouldn't say, but when he was born, Amy was over 20 years old, and Dana's wife, Stacy, teacher, and they have a son, Taylor. I mean, these are the next generations coming on down the line. And then the youngest brother of my mother, George, and his wife, Amy, they had three daughters, Jill, Susan, and Joy. Jill is in the Los Angeles area. She wasn't at the gathering, but she has twin boys. And they were kind of interesting because they were born in different years. one little bit before midnight, and then, and I think it was around New Year's time or something, maybe some different. Anyway, Susan and Dory, they're integral parts of this extended relative family. Their smile and laughter is always, you know, brings a lot of joy to everyone. And when we think about Jaime and Bruce, who live up in the Bay Area, their children, well, Bethany, she married Brian Ojabo, and I was asked to officiate their wedding about, well, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago in the wine country up there in the Sonoma, Napa area. And not, and they had Solomon. Why? Solomon means wise. He's only 4 years old now. He's part of that young generation that's coming up. Kazo and Remy and Taylor. And you see all the cousins get together and run around, you know, at these gatherings. It's a, okay. And Brian's son Avi was there, and he also played poker afterwards with us. I mention that because when I was a college student, the Nishimura clans and all of our uncles by marriage, they always played poker after family gatherings. It was very, what am I going to say, famous or, you know, a custom. And we carried on that tradition. Okay. After family gatherings, all the guys, women are welcome, okay, but usually it's the guys. And we play a variation of poker called Texas Hold'em. Okay. It's a friendly game. Okay. Just a $5 buy-in, and you get 500 chips. Okay. And the bantering that goes on, the kidding and the camaraderie. Those that know about this kind of activity know the warmth and laughter and kidding around that goes. Okay. Part of the wedding, 50th wedding anniversary, of course, all the kids, when I say kids, I'm talking about Don and Joyce's kids who are in there, you know, over 40 years old already, of course. They made a paper heart shaped, and then a hot air balloon is what it was, and you put a little, you know, maybe about 4 foot high, and you light a candle that's suspended underneath there, and then you let it go as part of the celebration, and it just took off. They had glow sticks that everybody had, and we were treated to fiddle music. Friend, the Davidsons, Steve is a fiddler, expert fiddler, okay? And their daughter, Mackenzie, close friends, though, they really had a lot. Okay? Everybody, and when you're talking farming and everything, they know how to cook. It was a, if you get a potluck, that's the best. Those recipes, wow. And part of the Nishimura clan that I was talking about, George and Alice Nishimura were there. I mean, Eddie and Alice. Eddie is the youngest of, I think there were eight, you know, brothers and sisters in the Nishimura clan. Eddie is his occupation was TV repair and everything. Of course, retired now, but he's an expert gardener. Yeah, well known for his garden. His wife, Alice, and with their staples in terms of being coming to these family functions. I've received a lot of plants from Eddie, and I've started my garden. This kind of roots networking and of this tree of life, or tree of oneness, we might say, is a tremendous thing of these families that have come together. And it all started really with my grandparents on my mother's side, and then bam, okay? All the relatives by birth and by marriage, wow, is all I could say. And wow is what my father was famous for. He had it in a funeral program, and all that generation, they passed on. My uncles, you know, Kay and George and their wives, Amy and Allison. In fact, I did participated in the funeral service for Kay, who's the eldest son of my grandparents, Taniguchi, Jichan Bachan, we call them, his grandparents. And they started the first Taniguchi ranch that we had the event at. And Kay lived into his 90s and did his funeral just a couple of years ago. My dad would always say, wow. And he became sort of within the family. He had it in the funeral, his funeral program, but you know, his gratitude and his amazement and his spontaneity is about wow. Wow about everything, about nature, and especially when I'm thinking about all these families and interconnection, we say, wow, okay? Kubota and Taniguchi families, okay? And part of the Bright Dawn Center is for them. It's for them. Well, I better stop. That's all for today's broadcast. Until next time, please keep going. And you have a very beautiful Kubo Gucci day. Thank you.